Welcome to She Struts Radio, where we give voice to women's stories, longings, pain, deepest heart's desires, and dreams, and support them in being unapologetically vocal, visible, and vulnerable women, happily claiming their place in the world. Now, here's your host, author and speaker, Deborah M. Ricks.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. New life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on. It's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done. That's what I...
Welcome to She Struts Radio. I am your host, Deborah M. Ricks, and I am delighted to be here this evening, feeling good. I just can't help but feel good when I hear my girl, my woman, diva goddess, Nina Simone. I am so glad that you decided to join me and my guest this evening. I expect this to be a delightful conversation, and you will be a part of it. I will open up the lines later during the call, during the show, and I want you to add your voice. If you have a comment, if you have a question for the guest or me, I want you to add your voice, and I'll tell you exactly what you need to do, and it's time to do it. A little bit more about me as I emerge from hiding, and I know many of you who know me may not think I'm hiding, but sometimes I don't tell people enough about me. So I am a mother, and that is one of the most important I wouldn't even call it a job. It's a privilege to be the mother of this young woman, Dia. I am the author of 3 books, the editor of more than 36 books. I am a coach. I am a publisher. And I said editor, right?
Yes.
And I'm a blogger. And I am passionate about life and learning and growing more deeply, falling more deeply in love with myself so that I can better love you. And I invite you to go to my website, DeborahRicks.com, and you can download a free copy of my most recent book. Write that book if you subscribe to my mailing list. I hope you will do that. And so this evening we are talking about beauty, the mind, body, and soul of a beautiful woman. I'm not really sure how this topic came up. I'm not really sure. So I just let stuff happen organically, but it just struck me as a topic worth talking about. And sometimes it may be a person that I want to have on the show that may inspire the topic, and sometimes it's the topic itself. Nevertheless, this is a topic that I wanted to get a holistic view of it, because every woman I know wants to be beautiful. And we're not talking pretty or cute. We're talking beautiful. And so I invited two women on that will bring this holistic approach to looking at beauty and the woman, okay? And so let me introduce my guest. Linda Smith, Linda Karen Smith, she is the owner of Body Bank, which is a personal coaching and fitness business. She was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York City. And there she danced and she ran track. And she was doing this fitness thing long before Jane Fonda. She wants you to know. We started doing
that. Yes, indeed.
And let me tell you, I had a Jane Fonda treadmill. So back in the day.
That's dating, girl. That's dating.
Yeah, I'm dating myself. But thanks to you, I look good for my age.
You are partially
responsible.
Thank you.
So Linda moved here in 2003. From New York, she moved to Baltimore, and she's been teaching dance and exercise ever since. Welcome to She Struts Radio, Linda Karen Smith.
Hello, everyone. How is everybody doing?
My other guest is Tapor, and I may mess up her last name, Bilazikian.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, man, I got it. She's Armenian. I believe I got that right.
All right.
And Tapora is a Baltimore native. She's the founder of a cosmetic company called Monave. Monave?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is it Monave?
Monave Works, yeah.
Monave. She said the way that you told me.
Usually say it with Mo instead of Ma, but Ma sounds pretty too, so, you know, it's all good. Monave is the essential way of saying it.
Okay, and so this cosmetic company is just all natural, minerals, and is a company that handcrafts natural, cruelty-free, gluten-free makeup for women of all complexions and lifestyles. And I haven't worn any, but I know people who wear it, and they love it. She uses her company as a portal for consumer advocacy as it relates to toxins and personal care products. And you'll learn more about both of these women as we unpack this topic, the mind, body, and soul of a beautiful woman. And so let's get into the meat of this topic. I know that Tapora and I talked about beauty not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was the one who kind of helped me shape it. Linda and I were talking about doing a show, having Linda on, because she brings the physical, and Tapora is going to dive into the mental soul portion of what it means and looks like to be a beautiful woman. So my first question is, what would you say makes a woman beautiful? Just in a short sentence, and then we're going to dig deep, drill down. And what
oh, my gosh, I knew you were going to ask that question. I was like, I know she's going to ask that question first. I better start figuring out what I'm going to say. It's like the deepest question you can ask. And I was like,
always.
I know she's going to do it.
How could I not when this is what we're talking about? But
I know. It's an incredible question.
Right. I want the listening audience to know. And I have a question that I've toyed with what I'm going to ask each of you, and I may do it and put you on the spot again. But here's the thing. I want the audience to know that we are going to talk about how you can cultivate your beauty. So we want you to leave here with something that you didn't come here with, or even just to affirm what you always have known, okay, about beauty.
Okay.
Try to answer the question, or Linda, do you want to take a stab at it first? Who wants to go first?
Okay, I will go first.
Okay.
I find the beauty is not on the outside. The beauty is on the inside. So when you shine and you're beautiful in the inside, meaning your heart, that you give from your heart, the beauty will come out. If you're a giving person, if you show a lot of love, if you show compassion, that beauty will come to the front. Now, the physical part comes after. Now, you want to fix, tone up, tighten up. That will come with the beauty within, because you're going to have the desire and the compassion to change the beauty within. So I say it starts from the heart. It starts internal. Then it comes to the front. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm pretty much on the same page as Linda. And I'd say that the way that a woman develops that persona of a beautiful woman, because I think it's a place that you can go, you know, it's a space you can reside in. It's not a way that you look. And I feel like the way that you emanate beautiful is by your relationship with yourself being loving. You love yourself. You know, a lot of times I read, like blogs written by men for men, and they say what a man sees as beautiful and attractive in a woman, and I can't speak for same-sex relationships, so I'm speaking as a heterosexual woman, but I don't want to exclude that, but it's basically a woman's confidence. You know, her confidence is what they find beautiful, because I just wrote this quote up on my on the blog that I've been developing, but it's very hard for someone to love someone who doesn't love herself. And so I feel like it's a woman's relationship with herself as it pertains to just love, like appreciating and loving yourself and nurturing yourself. And that's where your beauty starts to grow.
And to me, sometimes it starts from a child and up. Somebody encourages, somebody tells them, you're beautiful. You know, you say it all the time, I am beautiful. And it starts from there, you know, within. You encourage a child or an adult or someone that you love, that you tell them that you are beautiful. You know, let no one else not tell you you're not beautiful. You are beautiful.
I know women, and one in particular comes to mind. I know, because this person happens to be in my family. I won't say who it is, of course. But, and she's physically attractive, you know, would be considered beautiful. But I wouldn't call her a beautiful woman, because she lacks the things that you talked about. Both of you talked about, and some of the things that came up as I was doing a little research to see what other people said about what it means to be a beautiful woman. And they named some of, you know, compassion and passion. And I add, and you, I think you said it to Pora, and that is loving yourself. And because when a woman loves herself, and this is a word that I use, and I don't hear enough of it, and that is she's more tender with herself. And therefore, she's more tender with other people. And there's something extraordinarily beautiful about tenderness.
Yes.
And I'd say rare. Like, that quality is so rare. Like, when I meet someone who's tender, I just want to sit in their presence, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And not only that, sometimes the joy of being around somebody who loves themselves or and love others, is, and you make them feel good. You know, you don't want to be around somebody who is a sourpuss or a gripe or complain all the time. You don't want to be around them. And they might be the beautifulest woman in the room. But because they're hard and they're angry and they're mean, and you don't want to be around them, so you tend to not sit with them among them. I don't care how intelligent they are or how beautiful they look, you would not want to be around them. You'd rather be around somebody who's, have a lot of fun and tell jokes and acting silly, but you laugh and giggle and they make you feel good. You want to be around them.
So given what you both have said, that sounds like any woman can be beautiful. Do you think that because of our obsession with appearance that not a lot of women know this and then therefore cultivate those qualities that you were talking about?
Oh yeah, not just because of the obsession with appearance, but the obsession with performance, like life performance, and women's perfectionism, you know, how they're raising their kids and, you know, how much time they spend with their kids and whether the clothes are folded and if all of the, you know, if they have young children, if everybody's had a bath and whether the dinner is fantastic and, you know, have they participated in enough church activities. And at the end of that list, there isn't anything left for her. So a lot of women give, and they give, and they give, and they don't give to themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, women have to take some time to make themselves first. And I think it's an interesting dichotomy when you see the way that a lot of men care for kids, is they'll just go find something fun to do together with the kids. And women just lament it a lot of times, like, but they don't realize that that's what they're supposed to be doing. Just go unplug and relax with your kids. Let go, you know, and that sort of type A that's, like, built into how we operate as, like, the nurturers and, you know, we're producers by nature, but then we can't turn that off. And when you turn it off is when you sit and just kind of look at yourself and assess, you know, even if you're just talking about appearance, but, you know, you can assess your spiritual well-being, your emotional well-being, assess, you know, whether your toes are soft, you know, has your grape popped through? Do you want to put a little henna in there? But if you don't spend any time with yourself, you can't do any of that. And a lot of women are at the end of their own list.
Right. Always at the end of the list. And sometimes that's when we become superficial, and that's when we put on airs about buying a tighter dress or getting a boob job or putting on lashes, or even if you feel that you have to put on a weave to make yourself feel better, that's what we do. But then in the end of the day, do you still feel that within your heart? Do you still feel that same kind of love for yourself? Because if no one tells you and you don't feel it, then it's not going to be done. Then there's not no justification to how you feel about even you trying to beautify your own self. So, yes, we are at the end of the list because we give so much and give so little to ourselves. I agree.
Let me take it in this direction, and this is for you, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen women, I know, I can tell just by looking at them, that they do not care for their bodies, they don't work out, they don't eat well, and then they put on a weave or wig, put on the lashes you talked about, put on the long nails, just really go all out supporting the multi-billion-dollar cosmetic industry. Look, and we have a cosmetic
I'm like the anti-corporate cosmetic owner. Less is more.
The irony of it all. And so but I see women, and I can see it so clearly that they're not doing those things that they could do to care for their bodies. I'm not even talking right now even about the spirit yet, or the soul, or the heart. I'm talking about just the things where the food that they put in their bodies, and the exercise that they're not doing, and I can see how they really overdo it. try to overcompensate, mm-hmm. That maybe you won't notice that I've never been to the gym, or I've never done yoga, or I don't walk, or I don't drink enough water. What do you say, Linda? I mean, let's talk about fitness and the importance of that in terms of confidence, because we talked about that. And every mm-hmm. time I do a poll, informal survey, and I talk to men, they do say confidence is the sexiest thing that a woman can wear. And so the mm-hmm. weave and the wigs and the lashes and all of that, if you don't have confidence,
mm-hmm.
you really still are not there. So what do you say, Linda, to women about how can we help women who are not doing those things? What do you say to them?
Sometimes, I work in the gym. And most people who come to my class, they are the ones I look at first before I start my class. And I scope the room before I start my workout, and I say, I'm going to help this person. So if I see a person down the street walking and they smile, and I say, how do you feel today? And they say, well, I'm tired. I said, well, do you work out? They said, no. I said, well, I teach exercise. Would you like for me to come to your home, and teach you a little bit of exercise? She said, how much do you charge? I said, I don't charge anything. I just want to come and help you get started. And once you get started, then you can go on and continue your journey and getting yourself fit. So when I look at people and I see, and I sit down and I tell them, I say, what happens if you fall down and you can't get up and you're in your house by yourself? What do you do? How are you going to get up? I say, or why do you wait till a doctor tell you that you have to get in shape or you have to start exercising or because your lifeline will be cut short? Or sometimes I say, God going to call you home before you know it, and do you want to go home? Anybody ask me, what you mean home? I mean home forever. So I tease them in that way, do you want to go home forever? Do you have children? Don't you want to live for them? So I explain that. Do you want to live for your child? Then you have to change your life. You have to change your life first. And it's not about the eating. It's changing life for the longevity. Because if you can't do something, or if you can't go up the stairs, or you can't, if you fall down and sprain your ankle and you sit outside forever and nobody can help you, how are you going to get to the phone, And I had, my mother-in-law one day, she fell. And ever since she's fallen, she has not done any type of work, anything. She wouldn't work out to her, and she got depleted. She started depleting. So I tell them stories like, you got to keep working. You have to live for your children. It's not about the beauty on the outside. It's about getting healthier and be able to live longer as you go older. So things of that nature. That's how I start with them. And then some of them come to me and they come to the gym and say, do you remember me? I say, yes. And they come to the gym and they start working out, and I put them on the bike and go from there. So that's how I get them. And not only women, men too.
True. I mean, men as well, I do see that as a part of what makes me feel beautiful is knowing that I'm healthy and strong. Strength is feels beautiful. I have there have been times in my life, I've been working out for decades, but there have been times in my life where I might have slacked up. And when I start mm-hmm. to feel weak and fatigued and I was like, oh no, this doesn't feel good. So
mm-mm.
I would go to the gym, and I love the way feeling strong makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you start to ache in places you don't have an ache before. Your knees start to hurt, or your shoulders start to hurt, or you don't sleep well, or, you don't eat well, your digestive system don't work. So if you don't work out, you don't get in strength, you don't work the body, the body starts to change. It starts to go downhill. They say, well, you don't care, I don't care. And the body will tell you, you ain't caring enough, neither will I. And then that's when something sits dormant, that comes to the surface, and then that's when things come to fore, and then your illness comes to play. You have a Crohn's disease. You have digestive system problem breaking down. You got a heart murmur. You got high blood pressure. All those things come into effect when you stop doing the exercise that you should be doing at all times. So,
in other words, your quality of life can plummet.
Yes.
Because as you get older, if you're not countering the natural aging process with exercise, because you look at one of my sheroes, Miss Ernestine Shepherd, who's 80,
my gosh, yes.
And she just turned 80, and I was watching one of her videos recently on Facebook, and now I happen to go to the same gym where she goes. Anywho,
mm-hmm.
she did a video, her very first Facebook video, and she, so lovely, she showed us a plank. And I said, look, you know, I know how many people half her age can't do a plank.
She
did a plank. And then she showed how to do push-ups. And she's so tender. She's so like, and one, and two, and so people sit there, and people are like, you're my inspiration. And she's my inspiration. And I've been working out for a long time.
And mine.
We see what that is, the power working out, her strength and her bones are strong, and it can carry her body around.
Exactly.
And so, what do you say to Pora?
That I'm going to start doing, I'm going to work towards doing a plank starting tomorrow. I want to do a plank. No, I see videos and testimonials from women who are like 70, 80 years old who look way better than I do. Not that I'm out of shape, but I'm not in shape like that. And I'm like, that is definitely how you should age, is going backwards and doing even, you know, more in terms of muscle tone than what you did when you were younger. I mean, it just seems to halt the aging process, and it makes you have that confidence, you know?
Right. And remember this.
And you know what, Tapora? You know what the thing is that there is such a thing as youthing, I believe, and I have introduced this word to other people because I know that I'm stronger now than I was 5 years ago, okay, because I have been really pushing myself to just push my body in a way, and even recently I have started to develop a little bit of a knee problem in my left knee, and recently I noticed it's no longer hurting, and I was like, wow. And I didn't do anything like go get any medical care. I didn't wear a brace or anything, although I have one that someone actually gave me, a beautiful brace, kind of like out, made out of fabric, but I wouldn't wear it because I didn't want my leg to heal on its own. And so there's I want to bring this full circle, this piece of it, that we actually have power over whether we show up as beautiful or not. And our physical selves, we have so much control over how we age, but we give that control up. And I like what you said, Linda. You said, if you don't care, your body said, well, if you don't care, well, why should I care?
Exactly. He'll tell you, like, you're not treating me well? You giving me this junk to eat? Well, okay, I'm going to hurt your stomach. I'm going to bring your pressure up. I got diabetes for you. How you like that present? That's a present you don't like. And arthritis, he's a boyfriend that you don't want to keep, okay, because he hurt you. He don't love you, but he's all over you. So I always tell her, that's a boyfriend you don't want to have around, okay?
Arthur. You don't want Arthur, right?
Arthur, that's right. His name is Arthur. He said, I love you.
Arthur hurts, right?
Yes, he do.
If you're in a relationship with Arthur, you are in an abusive relationship. Get out.
He make you cry. He make you cry. He make you slow down. He make you turn inside out. He hurt you.
So let's talk a little bit about food, because I think Tapora, and then we're going to, how about we do this? We're going to take a little interlude, and then we're going to turn this attention, and I want to really leave, because sometimes I can't tell, because I get so engaged. I can't tell whether I'm leaving people with some solutions or not. I want people to walk away feeling like they got at least one thing that, like, well, we know Tapura is going to start
the
doing
plank.
Planks tomorrow.
That's my thing.
So at least one person has been converted.
I don't even know what a plank is, so I'm really excited to get online and figure it out. It just sounds like you're going to end up being really rock hard when you're done with it.
And you know what? You're talking to the right people, especially Linda. If you don't know what a plank is, you need to get in touch with Linda after this show.
Please.
And she will tell
That's
you.
Right.
She will help you move from plankless to planking.
I beat you down, girlfriend.
She's
I beat you down. I even have my senior class doing planks, and they do it standing up. They said they can't get on the floor, so I had to find a way to make them do planks too.
That's nice.
Let me tell you, Linda is a beast, and she does it in such a way. If you were to see her in the class, and you see her, you go to class. You wouldn't know. I've seen people say, you know, in a class, they were like, they're shocked when it was halfway through the class. One woman recently said, "You're good." Like, she was shocked that Linda was gonna, you know, she works you in her class in personal training. She works you. You're gonna get your money's worth if you sign up with her. Okay. Make no mistake about that. All right. So you're going to be beautiful on the outside and inside, inside out, upside down. You're going to be beautiful.
That's right.
We're going to come
That's
back.
That's what I do.
That's what she does. And when we come back, we're going to turn this attention, we're going to turn our attention to talking about the mind and the soul of a beautiful woman. And we want the listeners to get in on this. And so you be thinking about, do you have any questions or you want to make a comment? And I want to say this as we go to a music interlude, that I posted on Facebook asking men what are some of the qualities that they say, you know, what makes a woman beautiful. And I was sorely disappointed. It hurt my little feelings because not a thing was posted. There was no like, there was no I hate you, there was no like, a beautiful woman is this, that. I reposted and I said, you know, y'all hurt my feelings. I mean, we're what? You don't think none of us are beautiful? So I don't know. So I'm inviting, if there are any men on the air, or, you know, calling in, I'm inviting you to let us know what you think is a beautiful woman, because we're talking holistic here. And what I know is that it is true that it's not about just how a woman looks, because a physically beautiful woman could be very unattractive when you get to know her, if she's bitter and angry and and selfish and some more things.
Yep.
And so, callers, get your questions ready, and upon our return, I will let you know how you can get in on this conversation.
Hey. All right.
Oh. Hey. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Choose.
life like it's golden, because as far as I know, this is the only one we have. Now, if there's another one, I don't know anything about it, and I just say it's time to live your life like it's golden. And one of the things that we do is we take our freedom. It's very sexy when a woman takes charge of her own life. Hmm. Welcome back to She Struts Radio. I am so delighted to be here this evening. I am your host, Deborah M. Ricks, and I have two lovely ladies with me. Tapora, we won't even say her last name. You don't have to. You know, there's only one. Okay? There's only one. One Tapora.
We made that agreement.
What'd you say?
We made that agreement.
We made that agreement. We don't have to say it. She's like the little mm-hmm. lady whose name I forget. Look, I got her own show now, own show with Oprah Network. But anyway,
that's right.
Linda Karen Smith is also with us. We must say her whole name because Linda might be another Linda Smith out there. So Linda Karen Smith is also with us, and I'm delighted to have these ladies. And we let's not forget about you, because there are some beautiful women on the air with us right now. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of them. I know some mm-hmm. of them. They're beautiful women. And for those of you who don't think you're beautiful, chances are you are, okay? Just don't mm-hmm. know it. Some women don't claim it, but that's okay. That's okay. So here, I want you to know we have some things coming up. I want to tell you those things before the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
For one, next week, I have a gentleman coming on, and you really don't want to miss him. I really don't know why more people have not signed up and said so on Facebook that they are going to join that show, because everybody's always talking about meeting their soulmate. They're always talking about mm-hmm. a relationship. But yet, somebody mm-hmm. comes along and trying to give them some information about how they can attract their divine lovemate, and they're not signed up. I don't understand it. I really don't. Mm. I mean, I really
Well, I'm going to sign up, okay? Just to
okay,
be supportive.
Well,
it
kind
of makes sense that the person that's saying they want something doesn't go after it when you put it in front of their face.
Never.
Isn't that how it goes? A lot of times when people say they want something, then when you stick all the tools right in front of them, they don't pick them up.
Even if it's free, they still don't take them.
Because they're not, even though they say they want something, they actually haven't figured out what they want, because they haven't hit those hidden drivers in there. You know, they haven't found their hidden drivers.
Right.
And you know what? Let me say this, since you brought that up. Sometimes all it is that people want to want. They just want to want. They don't want
yep.
to have. They want to want.
It's like a person
you know?
See food. I want to eat it. They just finished eating, but because they see it, they want it.
Well, that's a little
You don't need that
anyway.
Cupcake, but I want it.
But anyway, let me
You don't need
about,
it.
Can I finish, please? Thank you very much.
Okay.
I got to rein you in. So listen, so next week, Lennon Honor is his name. He is a husband.
Mm-hmm.
He's a father of five beautiful children, two little girls, three boys. He's a filmmaker. He's a counselor. He has a channel on YouTube, and that's how I found him. I like YouTube because you can find almost anything on YouTube. And I happened to stumble upon his channel, and I could not stop watching his videos. Because this man, what he shows is what a man really is. I mean, I hate to put it that bluntly, but really, he just he's wise. He's deep. He brings it, and what he does is he helps. The things he talks about, these are important things. If you want to attract your divine love mate, and you're really serious, and you're not just talking out of the side of your mouth, you know, if you really want that person to come into your life, then you need to be prepared for that person. And the problem with a lot of us, and I include myself, I wanted something, and I wasn't ready for it, you see? So he's coming mm-hmm. on next week, March, I believe it's March 3rd,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. he's gone, it's hard to believe, but next week is March. He's going to be talking about preparing for your divine love mate. And he brings it. He's authentic. He's real. So tune in for that and go to Facebook and USC where you can let us know that you are going to be joining in. Now, I have grown tired of shrinking, playing small, hiding, holding back, so concerned about people's feelings, and I am really pushing to unfold, to really unfold, to find my authentic voice and to be true to who I am and to embrace all of who I am, and I invite you to do the same. I created a Facebook page, a Facebook group that is called Unmasking, to take the mask off, okay? And I invite you, if you're a woman, to go on Facebook and to join this safe community. It's a no-judgment zone. We will not be judging each other. The purpose of it is to begin to peel back stuff and take off the mask. And I'm not even talking about taking off the mask so we can see all the ugly, because a lot of times we show the ugly, but we don't show the beauty. We don't show how powerful we are. We won't let people see just how smart we are. We dumb down. And I know you know what I'm talking about. And lastly, I want to invite you, if you want to connect with me, go to my Facebook page, but better still, go to my website. I do coaching, and I help people burp their books. And somebody, can you stop doing with all that you're doing over there, eating popcorn or whatever? I don't know. I hear a lot of stuff going on. And so I invite you to connect with Deborah. I provide coaching for those who want to birth a book. I also coach women who are looking to birth parts of themselves, right? And just go to DeborahRicks.com and join my mailing list, and also you can send me a form or an email from there. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled program. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, so we're talking about the mind, body, and soul of a beautiful woman. In a few minutes, in a little bit, I'm going to open up the lines. Right now, I want Sephora, I want you to talk a little bit about the inner woman. And let me read something first that I got from you, that I went to your nice blog. Nice. Very
my
nice
new blog.
Yeah, very, very nice. Well done.
Thank you.
And I went there, and but also there's something else that you sent me, and you said, I was raised in the feminist movement during the 70s and the 80s. I was exposed to the idea that a woman should not concern herself with beauty, that the world needed her brain, not her looks. At its extremes, I was shamed for wearing makeup, shaving, and also encouraged to experiment with bisexuality as an antidote to my self-love body issues. This rubbed me the wrong way then, and rubs me wrong now. I was like, stopped in my tracks. Because for one, I thought everybody was encouraging everybody to be beautiful. But I do know the feminist time, during that time, the feminist movement, that we were, that's when we became more men than women. That's when we decided to burn the bras and put on the wife beaters.
Right.
Tell us about, you know, just say more about that and talk about the, what, you know, the soul of a beautiful woman. Because I found that, I don't know, Linda, I don't know, when I read that, I was shocked because I'd never heard it put quite like that, that you were shamed. You know, like there was, like we, at that time we started to embrace, and it wasn't a black woman thing. We really didn't, I don't think we partook in that, in the same way, to
right.
the same degree, like, you know what I mean? I don't think we did. I don't
right.
think, hell no, I'm going to get my hair done. You
know? Okay. Mm-hmm. And won't go to the gym, okay?
We just, well, we if we will talk about that another time, but I'll tell you this, I did read somewhere that 40% of black women won't work out because of their hair issues. They don't want to mess up their hair. So, Tepora, tell us more about this.
Well, I went to a liberal arts college, you know, and it was it's considered a feminist, you know, bastion of feminism. And I just remember as the 4 years went on, it became more and more of a radical thing to even just wear makeup. And there was like this look that was, you know, going around that I still see on college campuses of how much you're allowed to care about how you look. So, you know, a professor might put a really pretty scarf around her neck and wear some jewelry, but it was kept to a real minimum. And I find, and that was like as far as she was allowed to go. And it was like everybody had this wall that they hit where if they went on the other side of that wall, then they would be looked down on. And I look at that as part and parcel of what is wrong with women in terms of as a community, that there's so much judgment going on against ourselves, and then we project that onto other women. And so it becomes a community of people who are telling other people what to do. And I don't think that we're supposed to do that unless it's something that could harm another person. Like if someone is, you know, suicidal and has a gun, then you have to do something about it, you know. But other than things like that, I don't think it's our job or our right to go around and tell people what we think they should do. And women do that all the time to other women. And I think it's one of the things that we're trying to change now. And so when a group of people that calls themselves feminists tells another woman what to do with her face or whether she should shave, they're doing the exact opposite of what that movement is supposed to do. The feminist movement is about freedom to make our decisions without judgment and without, you know, a consequence of some kind. So, you know, my position is that there's some growing that has to go on in there. And I definitely protested that. I didn't really adhere to those ideas of what I was supposed to do with my body or anything like that. So I think, for example, I would wear full makeup, and then I think I shaved my head 1 year and let it grow back and kept it really short and bleached it platinum blonde, and then I would wear full makeup. And what's somebody going to say about that? You know, so I think so much of it has to do with turning off the judgmental voices and stopping the critique. And it doesn't mean that you can't look at yourself and say, you know, I would like to have, you know, my nail polish match my shoes today. Not like that, but the actual running critique of how we look, how we talk, whether we're attractive enough, are we standing properly, you know, I wonder how that skirt looks in the back. I mean, it's just too much. It fills up your brain to the point that you can't do anything else. And then you've got your mother who told you that you didn't walk the right way, or you were too this, or you were too that, or, you know, I mean, there's so many little comments that mothers make to their daughters, and sometimes fathers too. Like, I had a male friend who used to comment on his daughter's breasts when they started developing, and it wasn't a complimentary thing. He was just like, oh, my God, like, they're so big. And I told him once, I said, don't ever say that to her ever again. Don't ever comment on her breasts when she's, you know, 13 or 14 and just getting used to this pubescent body. That's when a lot of the damage occurs. You know, because you know, we get uncomfortable with our bodies when they start changing. We develop fat that we didn't have before in a society that doesn't value fat, you know, and, you know, boys will comment on our budding bosoms and, you know, our moms will tell us that we're too sexy or we shouldn't look that way or we're flirtatious or something. There's always something somebody's saying to us. That's when it starts. And then we have to spend the rest of our life trying to turn that off or turn it around. And so one of the things that I've started doing that I'm going to blog about is when I take a lot of baths now as part of a self-love year, I would say. I started just saying, okay, what am I think I read a dating tutorial, and they said, okay, you need to, even if you're not dating, if you want to be with someone, then you need to love yourself. And so find those ways to love yourself just as you want other people to love you. So I said, well, what are one of the things I love to do is I love taking baths. So instead of just being like once in a while I'll take a bath, no, I started taking a bath every day. And then I noticed one day that, and I mean the whole thing, candles, everything, I make time for it. And then I noticed that I had a hard touch on myself. Like the way that I washed myself was hard. Like I was always scrubbing really hard. I mean, I don't get that dirty, you know? So I said, why are you touching yourself that way, Tapora? So here's one thing that I do that might help someone else that's listening, is I tell each body part that I love it as I touch it, you know, I love you. I literally say I love you when I'm touching my knee or when I'm, you know, washing my ankles. I say I love you, foot. And it grows from there, and then you start to say things like, you're beautiful, or thank you for holding me up every day. And then you look at your toe and realize, wow, maybe I could use a pumice stone. Or, you know, you get up to your elbow and realize you haven't paid any attention to it, and you soften it and say, I love you. And you say, I love you from head to toe every single day to every single body part, even the ones that you don't think that you like. And it just creates this incredible peace, you know, and I think we have to start there with just like, you know, exercises and self-love where you actually say and affirm it, even if you don't feel it in the beginning.
I like that because from all accounts, we are very harsh when it comes to our bodies. From our touch, and I like what you brought this into the conversation, to our own touch and to the way we talk to our bodies and talk about our bodies. And what I know is this self-love, this thing we call self-love, is really at the root of everything. It's at the root of all good. That's what I like to say. It's at the root of all good. And I noticed that for myself, the more that I love me, the more that I spend time with me and being tender and compassionate and kind to me and making sure that when I find myself being harsh, I do the work. I get in the mirror and I do my mirror work. I do my inner child work if I'm not feeling good in my spirit. And I notice that in doing so, the peace, like you said, the peace that envelops me is unreal. The peace that I feel. And because of that, I notice how people treat me differently, better. I'm getting treated, you know, it's like the outpouring of love and appreciation that I got on my birthday was just beautiful. And because if we don't celebrate us, if we don't acknowledge us, any word you can put in the place of that, if we're not doing it, then nobody else is going to do it. Don't expect it to be done. So if I look in the mirror and I got nothing but criticism, then how can I be surprised or even upset when someone else looks at me and say, you know what? What in the color purple? You sure is ugly. Somebody would go that way. You know, you sure is ugly. Because how can they not tell me that if that's what I'm telling myself?
Mm-hmm.
So I love that really, that to me. So would you say that's really, because for me it is, but would you say that if you want a beautiful soul and a beautiful mind, that's where it begins with the self-love, the practice of. And I do call it a practice because it's a daily thing.
It is. It's daily. Mm-hmm.
I like to iterate on that same topic. Also, if you don't give it, if you don't tell somebody, you're not going to get the same feedback. It's what you attract. It's what you send out is what you attract. If you tell somebody ugly or you criticize somebody all the time or you nitpicking, then you're going to attract the same thing and people are going to come back. And that's when you get the doubt or you don't feel good about yourself. But if you compliment somebody, that dress looks good on you. Your hair looks very nice. Your shoes, somebody's going to turn around, you go down the street and say, you look very nice today. You're very pretty. So you have to get it sometimes in order for you to get it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what I believe.
Oh, what I noticed, though, when more critical I am, I have to pause because I must be criticizing myself. If I'm looking out there criticizing people. So anytime we're criticizing other people, it's because mm-hmm. we are self-critical. You cannot be criticizing other people and not criticize yourself. And whatever we say about other people, we're really saying about ourselves.
So the other day, I don't know what it was I was doing that made me feel beautiful. It was some something I was doing. And so then I got in my car and I started driving. And like 5 minutes after I got in my car, this young man, I mean, he couldn't have been more than like 16, just like leaned into my car. He was crossing the street and he just leaned in. He was like, "You are beautiful." And he was sincere. And I think I was looking at him like he was crazy just because he was like my son's age. But it was one of those demonstrations where, yes, this is how I feel and this is how I'm going to be received. Even by someone who wouldn't necessarily approach an older woman, you know?
Yes.
But he received that vibe, and it's, you know, it's what you project, I think, is what people see.
My male friend, you know what? He always compliments me. Always. You're beautiful, Linda. I keep saying, I'm old. No, you're beautiful. And I'd be like, really? He said, look at yourself. You're beautiful. You're a beautiful woman. I never used to like to compliment me because I come from the age of the black and white issue, and I always was, when we was growing up, it was, you're black, you're not pretty. You know, you had to be light-skinned and whatever, not changing subject. But that's how I felt growing up for myself. So when I learned how to be beautiful, it's because he complimented me. He said, you're a beautiful woman. Keep going. Don't worry about nobody else. Somebody's going to compliment you. And that's when I learned how to say thank you. I was appreciative, you know, thank you. I was compassionate to what the compliment he gave me. So, yes, that's how I felt, you know, so.
You're not changing the topic. That is a part of it because that's a reality that we live in. A lot of women do struggle for various reasons. It might be the complexion. It might be her hair. It might be her weight. It might be her age. It might be any number of things that I might not even consider. I might not even be able to even imagine these things because it's not something that I've dealt with. But I do know that that is real. And I believe that it is what you were talking about, Tapora, that it's surprising to me that when young men, I was walking down the street and this young man, he like did the same thing. He must have. I think I asked him later because I kept seeing him, and he was 20 years old. And he was like telling me how beautiful I am, right? So what I think is this: I think we're beyond the times when you have to stop being beautiful at a certain age. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I've shown people Miss Ernestine's picture and men who are like 30, and they say, she could get it. They're like, oh, she could get it. She might not want it. Look, she might not want it, but she could get it. So I think beauty is such a thing that is not about age. In fact, Tina Turner is 73, and she's the oldest woman that's ever graced the cover of Vogue magazine.
Wow.
Why? Because she's not old. She's not old. She's not old. She's 73. Old is a way of thinking and being in the world. She's not
exactly.
Yeah, I saw her dancing a couple of weeks ago, and she was on it. I tried to do some of the moves she was doing, and my thigh started to hurt, my butt started to hurt. I couldn't keep up with her, and she made it look effortless, and she was in heels.
Look, you gotta hang out either with Tina Turner or Linda, one or the other. I don't think you're gonna get a hold of Tina Turner.
Okay.
But you do have access to Linda Karen Smith, okay?
That's right. And I'm 65, and I hang with her, so yes. So you can hang with me.
So I'll
get you in shape and make you wiggle.
Okay, so I'm going to open a call up. See, I have to rein y'all in and rein myself in at the same time. I get out of control. I get excited. So I want to open the calls up. So I want to open the lines up so people can have comments or ask questions of you because there's so much we could talk about. But we want to hear other people. We want them to be a part of this conversation. So if you have a question or comment, what I need for you to do is press the number one. And then your hand will be raised, and I will invite you into this conversation. Press the number one if you'd like to just share thoughts or a question or comment. And don't be shy. We don't bite on Thursdays. So as the folks prepare their finger to press one, this is what some of the characteristics that I found online that someone said made a woman beautiful, and I thought these were good points. Some of which we've already talked about. She's passionate about something. They said a dull woman is a Debbie Downer, right? She's passionate. Number two, she's loving and compassionate. Number three, she's smart. Her mind is sexy. Her mind is beautiful. Number four, she has a fun-loving spirit. And I want to pause at this one. I think this is real important because it's hard to have a real, genuinely fun-loving spirit if you are weighed down by resentment, unforgiveness, living in the past, what they did to you, what they didn't do for you, all that sort of stuff. And a lot of people live back there. You have to call your spirit back. Call your spirit back. You need to pull your spirit back into you because when you live there, that's where your spirit is. And it's hard to be, you can try to fake fun and loving and all of that, but you really, people can see right through that. That's not going to last for a few seconds. So Hill Harper called that a lightness of being. He said that's very sexy in a woman. And if Hill Harper says it, it's true. I love it. Y'all don't know who Hill Harper is?
No, I want to know who he is.
Yeah.
I think he didn't because you would have agreed with me. You got to look Hill Harper up. He's a sexy man who plays.
Oh, yes, I know him. He's an actor.
Yes,
he wrote a book, too.
He's an author and a whole lot
okay.
of
Got you.
So he's a sexy man, okay? And he knows what he's talking about. So the other thing they said makes a woman beautiful is she is resilient, okay? She's resilient and tenacious. The one other thing that we talked about, she's confident. And the last thing, she has energy. So anybody want to get in on this conversation? Okay, we have some folks that want to get in on this conversation. All right. 255-453-255. Welcome to She Stress Radio. Question or comment, and what is your name?
Is it me?
If your number is 255.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the rest of my number. I'm sorry. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hello.
My name is Rochelle. I'm going to be very brief. I'm a former student, current friend, going to be student again of Miss Linda's. I've been my trainer in the past and present and future always. But
hello.
I just wanted to say, hi, baby. I just wanted to say very briefly that this conversation, this program has been not for naught. And when you said, I hope somebody got at least one thing, I got at least 20 things.
All right.
That I'm taking with me from both of the speakers. Started off with her speaking about being last on your own list. And even with the host, when she said about healing her own knee, like I had that same absolute thing when I started eating healthier. This has just been within the last 45 days. And just knowing the things that make you beautiful, taking more time for yourself. This personally has been my year of no. And I'm a yes girl, like not a gullible, one of those kind of yes girls, but I'm a girl that likes to please, like, make sure everybody's okay, do everything for people. And, you know, I prayed about it. And this is my year of no with love. And it's opened up so much more time for just me. Like today, for instance, I got home at 5:45. I never get home at 5:45. This has been the year of me getting home when it's still daylight. So I just I just wanted to just briefly let you guys know that I've taken so much from this broadcast. I really am so glad that I was able to get off early today and be a part of it.
That's wonderful.
And, thank you.
If you guys could really, like, I was trying to write down and catch the websites, and the young lady says she has a blog.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all those things, I'm just wondering where I can go, just because I didn't get to write any of that stuff down. So after the show.
So how about if Linda would, are you on Facebook, Rochelle?
Yes.
Okay. So I will post some of the things you talked about, maybe all of it. I will post to my page. In other words, I'm going to post the archive show to my page,
mm-hmm.
Deborah M. Ricks. So you can friend me, you come to my page, and you can see that information, and I will post those things that you asked for. Okay?
Okay, perfect. Yes, thank you so much. I look forward to being a part of each and everything. So, and I'm
good.
Done. All right.
And thank you,
Rochelle,
for your comments.
Thank you, Rochelle.
It was just wonderful because, see, this is why I do radio, because it's important that we share what we know. And she just took away 20 things, and she added some things, too. She didn't just take away.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
I really do.
Exactly.
And I'm glad that I listened to the entire program, because I thought my phone was about to go down when you took a break, and I was like, oh, where's my phone cord? But I'm glad I listened through to the whole, you know, to the whole part, because I thought you know how you're like, okay, I listen to my girl, Miss Linda, and then I go ahead and do something else. And I was like, no, I can still make my tune while I'm doing this, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I was able to listen to the whole program.
I hope you will continue to tune in on Thursdays, and thank you. I love this year of no. We know that Shonda Rhimes wrote a book called The Year of Yes, but you know what? If you don't say no, you don't have space to say yes.
I don't.
All right.
And I got this thing.
I like that.
Make sure when you're saying yes to others that you're not saying no to yourself. And I'm like, I constantly say no to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. So it's like, yeah, that no is real nice for everybody, but what about you? So
that's
it's
great.
And then it's been really great. It's been really like, nope, sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that. But, you know, yeah, it's been really great. And it's not been selfish. It's not selfishly motivate or selfishly motivated in a good, in a positive way, not in a
right,
negative.
Right, exactly.
So, as I
let you know, go, because we have some other callers. It's okay to
okay.
be selfish. We need to redefine that word. We need to stop
really
making
good.
That word bad. Because
mm-hmm.
the very
really
people who are telling us not to be selfish, they are trying to get their needs met through you.
Exactly. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your time. Thank you for letting me get my 2 cents in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rochelle.
All right. Good night.
375-410-375. Welcome to She Struts Radio. Your name?
Hello.
Yes, your name?
Oh, hi. How are you? Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And your name?
Okay. This is Valerie Houston.
I'm Valerie.
Hey, Val.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Great.
I must commend the three of you, Deborah. Excellent, excellent job. I mean, you touched so many phases of all of my life in the hour that I've been on the line. All of you ladies. Linda, I know you from brutalizing me in poor class. So I just want to put my little, well, she put up 2 cents, so I'm going to take it up to 5 cents. She's absolutely right to call her before me in saying that you have to learn to say no. I was that person, too, who never said no. I said yes to everything. And, again, I had to learn to gently say, I'm sorry, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I needed to find time for me. And
mm-hmm.
in doing that, I found my truth. I found the true me.
Yes. Oh, my
gosh.
And
the true me allowed me to make my way to class,
right.
make my way to better eating habits, make my way to sit down and have time to think about what I need to do for me.
Yep.
For a change.
Bingo.
Because if you don't do that in your life, you find yourself fulfilling everybody else's needs but your own.
Mm-hmm.
And then in doing that, you look around and you say, wait a minute, do I ever have time for me? What am I going to do? You know, yes, I might be slightly, pleasingly, voluptuously plump. I'm going to call myself that because I never consider myself fat because I feel fit, and that's what I want. So if I can feel fit and still feel good about myself, I don't have a problem with my identity. So that's what I'm learning about my truth for me, because when you find your truth, you have honestly crushed your ego. You crush that ego of telling you can't do this or you can't do that. Crush that ego and just go for the true you and love yourself abundantly. Like God said, live abundantly. Love yourself abundantly. Okay? That's my truth.
Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you, ladies.
I hear her on that because, oh, my gosh, when you stop taking care of everyone else for a little while, you find yourself. It's exactly what you said. You find yourself. It's an amazing process.
Yes. Yes, it is. And that's what I
want
to do.
Find
the real me and be true to me. Because if I'm true to me, everybody else is going to be happy.
Yep.
That's just me. Everybody else, when you send that out to the universe, when God is blessing you on that level, when you find the inner peace, the inner you, your soul matches up with your thinking, how you love people, what you do, how you treat yourself, and that's most important.
So happy girl, happy world.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies, for letting me come. Let me get in. All right. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Val.
Thank you,
Valerie.
Yes.
I never would have thought that this show would have such an impact. That's why I like for my shows to come organically. And these ladies, they're showing up and showing out because the truth is that I forget sometimes how difficult it is for us to say no.
Exactly.
Because, you know, my daughter's off in college. I'm pretty much, you know, I don't have a dog or cat, none of that. Nobody, I don't have no man saying, I need this, like that, can you please? I don't have none of that. So, but I'm reminded of how many people, because even if you don't live with them, there are people calling and they want you to come pick them up. They want you to do this and take them somewhere. Because I read in your blog, Tapora, some of how you was, you know, with your mom and your dad and all of that. So we're always being pulled at as women.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like the vortex, and everybody wants a piece of us. You know, they swirl around us and they want a piece of us. But I love what each woman said about saying no, setting those boundaries. And that is such an act of self-love. I love it. I love it.
Yep.
So
yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Let me get this.
Thank you.
Let me get another caller. Just give me a minute. Welcome to She Stress Radio, 443-418.
Welcome to you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
This is Dr. Q. I'm enjoying the show. And
thank you.
Hi. I would like to make a few comments.
Go ahead.
Speak, brother.
Okay. First, I want to start and say that definition of that demonstration of self-love was the best I've ever heard. That was absolutely the best I ever heard of one yourself. You know, you physically loving yourself, and then it goes inward. I must try that, I tell you the truth. Now, I went to your Facebook page and I prefaced that. I saw that question about what makes a woman beautiful to you. So I want to answer that question. What makes a woman beautiful to me is her attitude, a smile, a warm attitude. Anytime you see a woman anywhere, on the bus, on the street, if you come up to her, ask her a question, excuse me, ma'am, and she responds, she's open with a warm smile, and you got that instant rapport to it, that's what makes the woman beautiful. Now you may back off and start looking at her hair, looking at this, looking at a lot of things. But initially, it's that kind of warm initial contact and open attitude. Now, by the same standards, you may see a woman that is, she's gorgeous as a model, and you walk up to her and you say, excuse me, ma'am, what time it is? And she throws her nose up in the air and she walks away. You know, any kind of woman that seems like she's stuck on herself. Those women become, excuse my language, those no good bees. Those no good bees. And those women, they are unattractive to a lot of men. So it's just that attitude thing that makes a woman beautiful to me.
Thank you, Dolphins.
Thank you, Dolphins.
That's what we were looking at, and I think you're right. And you know what? It just came to me that maybe we address this the other way around. What makes a man, whatever, we wouldn't say beautiful, but, you know, whatever word we
handsome.
Come up with. But because
attractive,
what makes a man attractive, appealing, and yeah, we're, you know, because we too are, we have some opinions about that, and maybe, I don't know who I'll get on the show to do that yet, but that's what's coming up.
DeBoer,
thank you
can
so
I
much,
say something
Dolphins.
in response to our guest statements?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I just had this weird flash of understanding about something that happened like 20 years ago when I was first married or dating my ex-husband, who's a very jealous man. And we went to Jimmy's in Fells Point, and I recognized one of the cooks. And I turned around to him, and I smiled at him, and I said, oh, I'm so glad you're the cook today because I love your home fries. And my husband stopped talking to me for 3 days. And I just couldn't wrap my mind around what it was about that exchange that made him jealous. But now I understand, because there are a lot of occasions, you probably experience this too, where men are attracted to us and we don't understand why. Like, we could be in our like PJ standing outside picking up trash off the sidewalk, and some man walks by and engages in a conversation with us, and it kind of feels like he's hitting on us, and we're like, hair's all over the place. And, and I think it's exactly what our caller said, is it's the warmth and the smile and the openness that is beautiful. And so I understand now what it was about that exchange, not why my husband was jealous, but what it was that made him feel like there was something between a man and a beautiful woman in me saying, I like your home fries. Because I had that warm openness and that smile that I give to everyone. And I think, you know, and when people tell me that they can't find anyone to be in their life on any level, I say, just get out there and engage. You know, get out there and engage. And so if I could add to that and just say, based on what the caller said, be warm, be open, be friendly. You know what I mean? It's not about whether you put on your eyelashes.
That's true.
Yeah.
I remember one time... Go ahead.
Well, I was just about to add that this warmth and friendliness and all of that, though, what I see with some people is that it's hard for them to have that because they got so much stuff going on in them. They got anger, they got resentment, they got unforgiveness. So if you could, you know, I see people and you know, they just got too much going on, so they have to really deal with that first. You know,
right.
You can't be as happy like Valerie, you know, she was talking about in the gym. She's just so happy. And
she
just draws you to her. And like Linda is not openly like high energy happy, but she's so warm. And so these kind of qualities I can see is everywhere, Dolphins is there. But I got to say this about your husband still. You got a problem because that was a little bit old.
Oh, yeah. Not to negate that he doesn't have a problem.
Yeah, I know you do that, but 3 days not speaking to you because of that.
Oh, yeah, no, that's why we're not together. But that was a big one, just the jealousy, you know.
Yeah, he was tremendously insecure because 3 days of not speaking to you because he was missing out on all those. If he didn't speak to you for 3 days, I take it you weren't having sex, you weren't kissing and hugging either. So he missed out on all that fry, all those French fries.
Right, but it's interesting that the times that he was really jealous, I was always scratching my head, and I couldn't figure out what he was jealous of. It wasn't like I was kissing someone. So now I know from what that man just said. It's just what you emanate when you speak to a man can be perceived as just beautiful,
that's
like
right.
when you're friendly and
that's
warm.
Right.
And I never really thought about that.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you had an awakening right here because the glaring point was it was so glaring that a man doesn't be upset about even because you know when a secure person, a secure man or woman is with someone who's beautiful, then you're secure enough to because we don't marry people, and I'm not even talking about him now because my ex-husband was also jealous. He told me I was a free spirit and I was way too friendly. After we got married, he thought I was too friendly. Well, I'm a friendly person.
Right.
And I was probably just talking about the fries just like you, but he was insecure.
Right.
So that insecurity, though, is really what just strikes me that's the healing that needs to happen with people who should be with people who don't like people that cook good fries. So anyway, that's the office.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So we have another caller, 868-042. You have about... Well, I don't give you a whole 5 minutes because you might take it. But we have got 10 minutes left in the show, and I'm so glad to have you on. Welcome to She Struts Radio.
Hey, it's Asia.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Asia.
Sophie. Hi, Miss Linda. I don't know if you remember me, Miss Linda, but I definitely remember you. You'd know me if you saw my face. No, I love you. So thanks for the conversation. I think they are critical conversations, and I have been taking notes as usual, but this time I decided to write them in my journal so I could just kind of sit in my bed, and I'll translate them to social media later. I had so much to say, but I think I'll start with the piece about, I love that you said fun loving is very attractive and makes a woman beautiful. And I definitely have found that to be the case. I was laughing. I remember seeing a man a couple of years ago who said to me, "You're always so beautiful. How do you do that?" And without being like overly humble or shy, I was just like, a lot of joy. Like that was an automatic response, a lot of joy.
Okay.
And then when Sephora was talking about Jimmy's just now, it reminded me of a guy that I dated years ago. We went to a haunted house and had so much fun. And then we went to Jimmy's once, I remember, and had breakfast and had a good old time. And I eventually stopped dating him because he said something to me that kind of scared me off about how he falls in love very easily. And I was like, okay, let me back off. But he called me for like 2 years. He would call me on Halloween. Around Halloween to see if I wanted to do the haunted house thing. So I definitely think that it is the fun-loving piece, the joy piece makes us beautiful, and the attitude and energy. But going back to why I think the conversations are so critical, you also said that it is a practice because it's a daily thing. And I think that, you know, it's very important for us to remember that self-love is a practice, beauty is a practice, and, you know, we live in a world that's very kind of fast-paced and crucial. So I was glad that I was late for the call today because I took my walk.
Nice.
And I came back and you guys were talking about, you know, just that importance of taking the walk and or exercising or, you know, moving our bodies. And today, this conversation was important to me because even though I said, you know, the guy goes, "Oh, you're always so beautiful," but in at our spiritual center Sunday, the speaker was saying something about how some days you wake up and you look in the mirror and you're like, "Oh my God, I love you. You're beautiful. Like I'd marry you myself," right? And other days you look in the mirror, and I had one of those moments this morning where my first thought looking in the mirror was, "You look like a garbage pail kid." A garbage pail kid. I don't know if you remember them. They were these little stickers.
Yes,
that
I remember
them. When I was a child. And you'll have to Google garbage pail kids later. But they were all these like little monster looking children. kind of like a monster that was beat up or something. And then I'd written something last night about how exhausting my job is and how exhausted my spirit was. And I work really hard Monday through Wednesday. I quit my job in June because I didn't have enough time to care for myself and my child. So then I started working part-time, but it's very intense and demanding work. And working part-time allows me to take the latter part of the week and really fill back up so that I can give as much as I do in the first 3 days of the week I teach. And so I was like, okay, what do you do when you're filling up? You know, you read, you write, you work out, you engage in these conversations, you meditate. But that's one of the things that I took from the conversation is that I really want to incorporate some of these practices into the teaching days. And right now I don't because I'm exhausted from the time I get home to just about when it's time to go to bed.
Well, you will find a way. I know you are resourceful, very resourceful. You're a teacher, for goodness sake.
And an artist, and we are the most resourceful people on the planet, right?
Exactly, and you're resourceful. I know you. And right. I would agree that the joy piece is super, super sexy, super attractive. And so if we didn't get anything, I got reminded of that as well. And I like, as I said, the way Hill Harper says it, a lightness of being. And the only way to have a lightness of being is to really let go of some stuff, to really release some stuff that you've been dragging around for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, some people. Let it go. Forgive.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to have that lightness of being and that glow.
Yes.
So thank you, Asia, for your comment.
You're welcome.
And
the final contribution is that Oprah and Deepak are doing a new meditation series, a new free meditation series starting on March 21st, which is, I think, is the first day of spring. And it's on releasing the weight, physical, mental, and spiritual. So
I'm really looking forward
to that.
Thank you. Yes, I saw that.
Thank you, guys. Love y'all.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
So I want you to let you know also that I will be speaking. You can mark your calendars. March 26th, I will be speaking at the Waverly Library, and the topic is, can this relationship be saved? And we're not just talking about the relationship with your boo. We're also talking about relationships that we have with our family members and our coworkers, and guess what? Ourselves, right? Because, I mean, when you think about it, our relationship with self is the root of every relationship, and the relationship that I have with me affects and impacts my relationship with you. So I have so enjoyed this, and I want my guests to have one closing thought as we wrap up, just briefly, because we only have 3 minutes. So what would you say, leave with people, Linda?
I'll say start your journey in the beginning of the day. Start your journey at the beginning of the day. Whether you pray, you exercise, change your eating habits, start your journey in the beginning and let the journey take you all the way to the end of the day so that you can be happy. And on your way, on the journey, people will look at you and say, that's a nice person, and I like them, and I thank them for being in my life. That's what I'll say.
And they will say, she's so beautiful.
Yes.
And Tapora, one word, just briefly, we got 90 seconds. I know you can talk fast.
I can talk fast, but it's short. Just find out whether you're willing to be loved, because if you're not willing to be loved because you want to be the one doing all the loving, then that might be one reason why you're not taking care of yourself and why you're not allowing yourself to, you know, play dress up and go out and feel and look beautiful for whatever it is that does that for you. You know, so be willing and open to being beautiful and receiving the benefits of that.
Wow. I love that. Find out if you're willing to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's key. Wow, mm-hmm. I love that. So I want to thank you all for listening to She Struts Radio, and I hope you tune in next week when Lynn and Honor will be honoring us with his presence. And go to my Facebook page, Deborah M. Ricks. DeborahRicks.com is my website. And follow She Struts Radio, and that way you'll get notices of all the shows. Thank you so much for listening. And as we go out, remember that you are light. NDRE tells us you are light. And please, please, whatever you do, be very, very tender with yourself.
Things that cause me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left.